Morning, everyone. Today's daf in Moikan, daf Yud Ches. We are in Yudzayin Amud Beis. We are at the two dots, and we are going back to the Mishnah. After a lengthy discussion in the Gemara, not that lengthy, a couple days, but after a lengthy discussion in the Gemara regarding Nidui being excommunicated, the Gemara now goes back to the Mishnah and goes back to discuss those people who can and cannot get a haircut in Chol HaMoed. Again, let's remind ourselves. Chol HaMoed, be'etzem, according to the strict, not the strict letter of the law, but theoretically, fundamentally, one can get a haircut in Chol HaMoed. It's a Tzorach HaMoed, it's for the purpose of mowing, and someone can do so. The Chachamim, however, prohibited it. And the Mishnah said the reason why, not the Mishnah, sorry, the Gemara says the reason why the Chachamim prohibited it is so that if we all can get a haircut in Chol HaMoed, so then we would triage, and all of us having so much to do before Yom Tov, so we would push off the haircut until after the first days, before Yom Tov, push off from Erev Yom Tov to Chol HaMoed. I got so many things, or so many other things I need to do, and so therefore the Chachamim realized that, they recognized that, so they said, you know what, you can't get a haircut during Chol HaMoed, and it'll force all of us to prioritize the time before Yom Tov and realize, hey, we need to get a haircut before Yom Tov. Okay, so but with that in mind, however, the Mishnah points out that there are a number of people who are exceptional. Exceptional meaning they have exceptions. They can actually get a haircut in Chol HaMoed because of circumstances that were beyond their control. And the Mishnah gave us a list of people who were coming back from a long trip or from a captivity, or they released out of jail, they released out of excommunication, or a somebody who made a neder and only can ask a Chacham on Yom Tov. Nazir Mitzora, so all these people have a special dispensation where they can get a haircut on Chol HaMoed. So we go directly to the Gemara, the Gemara's discussion. Rabbi Yirmiyahu Rabbi Zera B'Shloha Yalap Panai. Sorry, let me read the heading because the heading's important in this context. Nazir Mitzora Mitumas L'Tara. So we're talking about the Nazir and the Mitzora. So when they come up from the state of Tumat Tara, so they're entitled to get a haircut. Remember, Nazir Mitzora, part of the Tahara process is that they need to get a haircut. Right? The Nazir, when he's Tameh, and he comes up from his Tumah, or the Mitzora, as he goes through the purification process, both of them are required to get a haircut. And under such circumstances, one can do so on Chol HaMoed. They could do so on Chol HaMoed. So, Bamin, Rav Yirmiyahu, Rabbi Zera. Gemara starts off with what seems to be a very easy question. It's almost like a softball question. And then what's going to be interesting is that the answer will not be as obvious as you might have thought. What's the Mishnah talking about? The Mishnah is talking about where they had an opportunity before Yom Tov Chol HaMoed, or they didn't have an opportunity. Now, when first going over the Gemara, so I didn't understand what's the Gemara's question. If you had time before Yom Tov, so then you're not afforded the Heter. The Heter in the Mishnah is only for those people who simply did not have the time before Yom Tov for whatever reason, but for the reasons given in the Mishnah, and that's why they're allowed to get a haircut in Chol HaMoed. And what's the Gemara asking over here? Well, maybe they had time and still they're allowed to get a haircut in Chol HaMoed. Well, how does that work? So, Amalei Tanina. So that was the question. I thought it's a softball question. I didn't even think it would be a question, but look at the conclusion. The Gemara quotes a brisa called Elu Sharmum Matam Galach Memoed Bishloyam Panai Avahailam Panai Asurim. So in general, the argument, of course, is a very valid argument. You're only given a heter to shave and get a haircut on Chol HaMoed only if you didn't have time before Yom Tov. But if you did, so you're not given this heter. That's the general rule. However, Nazir Mitzora, Apa Pishayim Lam Panayim Mutarim Shalom Yishukab Nasayim. But the Baisa says, but the Nazir and the Mitzora are different. Even if they had time before Yom Tov, and even if they had the opportunity to get a haircut and shave before Yom Tov, they could still do so on Chol HaMoed as well. Why? In other words, you would think, well, they had the chance beforehand, so why were the Chachamim allowed to do it on Yom Tov, meaning not on Yom Tov, but on Chol HaMoed? So the Gemara is the end of the last three words of the Braisa gives away the answer. Shelo Yishu Karban Oseim. Because the story goes like this. They are not going to be able to bring their carbon until they get a shave and get a haircut. Again, as I mentioned a moment ago, in the case of the Nazir and the Mitzora, part of the Tahara process is to get a haircut. So that haircut is only going to enable them to bring a carbon. So if we don't allow them to shave and get a haircut on Chol HaMoed, so then they won't be bringing their karbanos. I mean, they'll be waiting until after Chol HaMoed. And any time that there's... So that basically there's a mitigating concern over here. You're right. Generally speaking, of course they should have taken care of it before Yom Tov and Chol HaMoed, obviously. But here, the mitigating issue, the mitigating concern, is that if we don't allow them to get a haircut in Chol HaMoed, then they're not going to bring their karbanos. They're not going to bring karbanos. They're not going to be able to participate in any of the Yom Tov activities. They can't even walk into the Beis HaMikdash. They're Tamei. And so that's why, for these two people, even if they had time before Chol HaMoed, before Yom Tov, to get a haircut and shave, nevertheless, they're still afforded the opportunity even on Yom Tov, even on Chol HaMoed as well. Understood. They're spoken about in the Mishnah, but now what we're learning in the Brisa is that their heter is even a little bit more. They just have more of a heter than the others. Okay. All the other people mentioned the Mishnah. Those who were released from captivity, those who were... Anyone else mentioned the Mishnah? Okay, Tana, now the Gemara quotes a Brisa. Okay, and as you just pointed out, anyone else, meaning, can we think of anyone else who is allowed to get a haircut on Chol HaMoed other than those mentioned in the Mishnah? So Tana, the Gemara quotes a Brisa, huh? We're going to add people to the list who may be an Ones, right? Who possibly be an Ones, and our Mishnah doesn't mention them. So Tana, Kohen Ba'aval, Mutar Megiluach. Okay, so the Gemara quotes a Brisa. And the Brisa adds two more people to the list, and that is a Kohen and an Avel. A Kohen and an Avel are allowed to, according to the Brisa, are allowed to get a haircut. Now this is going to be tricky, because what the Gemara now is insinuating is that our Mishnah doesn't include them in the list. Okay. Now we'll take this one by one. So it's funny, the way the Brisa presents its Kohen and Avel, and for reasons I don't know why, but the Gemara first discusses the Avel, and then afterwards discusses the Kohen. Okay, I don't know why, but either way. Hi, Avel Hechidami. Now, what kind of Avel are we talking about? Now, remember, let's go over the basic rules. And it's going to come up again and again through the third parak. But just make sure that we're clear. A person loses one of his seven relatives, either his parents or his children or his siblings, brother, sisters unmarried, or his spouse. So the person now is an Avel, and he sits Shiva for 7 days. After he sits Shiva for seven days, so then he's going to... have what's called Shloshim. Shloshim then is for 30 days. He's going to, not 30 more days, 7 days are included in the 30, but then he's going to be in Shloshim where he's also going to have some Nihuge Avelos, some practices of Avelos. Okay. Now we know that, and we're going to be discussing this at length in our Perek, that in a scenario where you have Avelos going up against Yom Tov, so the Yom Tov is going to break the Shiva. But what Yom Tov will not do is Yom Tov will not break Shiva and Shloshim. Yom Tov is only going to break Shiva, meaning if the 7 days hits Yom Tov. If at any point Yom Tov comes within the 7 days, it's going to break Shiva, but it will not break Shloshim. What's going to happen, Shloshim will be practiced after Yom Tov is over. If, let's say, he's finished with Shiva, and now he's in Shloshim, and Shloshim approaches, Shloshim hits the Yom Tov will break the Shloshim. Okay, so Yom Tov is going to break something. It's either going to be Shiva or Shloshim, whichever is hitting. Okay, now here's where it gets a little bit complicated before I get to the complication. Okay, an Avel can't get a haircut, not only for the Yemei Shiva, but also for the Yemei Shloshim as well. Okay, Avel can, in terms of shaving, so there's a, let's keep it simple because it's going to get complicated. An Avel cannot get a haircut during neither Shiva nor Shloshim. Okay. Now, with all that in mind, so we're going to be discussing now the following scenario. What happens when this Avel is coming upon a Yom Tov? Now, let's make this a little bit more complicated. How long is Shiva? And not the next question is not going to be relevant. How long is Shloshim? Shloshim is 30 days. How long is Shiva? Okay, sounds like a simple question. It's not a simple question. Shiva is 7 days, as the name indicates. However, it gets complicated by the fact that there's an opinion of Abishal, which we happen to hold la halacha, which is that when you get to day 7, Miksa Siyam Kekula. Miksa Siyam Kekula tells us that on day 7, she observes Shiva for just a little bit in the morning. That's it. Shiva's over. And now what's the rest of that day? The rest of that day is Shloshim. Even though it's the 7th day, it's the end of Shiva, and it's the beginning of Shloshim. That's the opinion of Abishal, which we happen to accept as a halacha. And then there's the opinion of the Chacham. The Chacham say, no, Shiva, 7 full days. And there's no principle here of Mixas Yom Kekulo. So 7 days, and the full 7 days is Shiva. So now what the Brisa here is going to be describing is that we have some kind of Avel who's coming up against a Yom Tov, and he's allowed to get a haircut and shave during Chol HaMoed. But mind you, however, that's what the Braisa says. The Mishnah doesn't include this person in the list of Heterim. So our Mishnah is disagreeing. So there's a debate between the Mishnah and the Braisa, and we are, at this point in time, going to struggle a little bit in terms of identifying what exactly are we talking about. So Tana Korma Aval Mutami Gulo Chai Aval Hechidami. So this is exactly the Gemara's question. What are we talking about? So let's now envision that the eighth day of his Avelus is Yontif. Or I should say better, Erev Regal. So Erev Yontif. Okay, so he's already up to day eight. So the Gemara says, okay, Shiva's over, and Shloshim also comes to an end as well. Because if it's day eight, that means he finished Shiva, according to everybody, according to both Abishal and according to Chachamim, he finished Shiva, and now day eight is Erev Yontif. That means when Yontif comes, Yontif is going to break the Shloshim. Knowing that Yontif is going to break Shloshim, so he's allowed to get a haircut and shave right before Yontif. Good. So the Gemara says, okay, so let's now make this a little bit more complicated. Let's envision a scenario where the eighth day falls out on a Shabbos, and Shabbos also happens to be Erev Yontif. Okay, so that means Yontif that year fall on a Sunday, and now it is Shabbos Sunday, and Shabbos for him represents day eight.
Are we interchanging Aninus and Avelus?
Aninus right now is not even... Aninus is not even part of the discussion. Right now, the whole discussion...
So how did Shiva end on Shabbos?
Perfect question. Okay, perfect question. Okay, that's a great question. Hold that thought. Okay. So, the... but anyway, Shechal Shmini Shalom Liyos B'Shabbos, Erev Regel. So the Gemara says, okay, so let's envision the following scenario, which is that day 8 falls out on a Shabbos. Shabbos happens to be Erev Yontif. So the Gemara says, but again, in that scenario, that too is a no-brainer. Because day 7 now is Friday, and we hold like Abba Shaul. So Friday for him is day 7. What is that? According to Abba Shaul, that is the end of his Shiva. Because again, Mitzvah Yom Kugulo, and also the rest of Friday now represents Shloshim. So now again, he knows that Yontif is going to break his Shloshim, so he can shave and get a haircut. And furthermore, just to up the ante a little bit, in this scenario, even the Chachamim are going to agree. Why? I'm sorry. Where the eighth day falls out on Shabbos. Why? So even the Chachamim are going to agree, because let's think about this. The Chachamim say that it's 7 full days, not Mitzvah Yom Kukulo. 7 full days, okay. 7 full days ends on a Friday. Day 8 is Shabbos. Okay, good. Yontif is the next day. Yontif is Sunday. Okay, now the problem, of course, is he can't get a haircut and shave on Shabbos. It's a malacha. Fine, but the idea is that he knows that Yontif is going to break, not Shiva, the Yontif is going to break Shloshim. So again, going into Shabbos, you know that. So therefore, in Erev Shabbos, you're entitled to get a haircut and shave, even according to the Chachamim. So lo tzricha, so the Gemara says, okay. So now, at this point in time, we can pinpoint the scenario. Shechal Shvi Shalom Liyos B'Shabbos. So now we're talking about where on his Avelus, day 7 is Shabbos, Liyos B'Shabbos, Erev HaRegel. Okay, so hopefully everyone sees this. It would be better if I mapped it out for everybody. But the last day of his Shiva falls out on a Shabbos, and Shabbos that year happens to be Erev Yontif. Okay, and now, Tana Beras Savar Lakaba Shaul. So Tana Bara, that's literally the outside Tana. That's the Braisa that we just quoted. The Braisa is of the opinion like Abba Shaul. So that means, what does Shabbos represent? Shabbos represents two things. Shabbos is the end of his Avelos, because again, Mitzvah Yom Kugulo, and it's the beginning of Shloshim. Now again, in theory, he could get a haircut, but that's not going to work because it's Shabbos. You're not going to get a haircut on Shabbos. So, but at least according to Abba Shaul, you know that Yontif is going to break what? Your Shiva or your Shloshim? It's going to break your Shloshim. So therefore, going into Shabbos, before Shabbos, you can get a haircut and shave, according to Abba Shaul. Mixes Yom Kukul of Yom Shvi Shalol. I'm sorry, but Yom Shvi Ololo Lechanul Kan, and the Yom Shvi is both Shiva and Shloshim. They came into Shabbos Aveyanosu. They came into Shabbos Aveyanosu, and of course Shabbos is Shabbos. He now falls under the category of Anos. He can get a haircut. On Chol HaMoed.
Is this the same principle with like one? Wait,
just give me. Yes, it is. But just give me one moment. Tani Didan Savar. Good. That's the Braisa. Now, what is our Mishnah hold? Tani Didan Savar like Rabbanan. Well, they fundamentally disagree on the principle of Mixas Yom Kukulo in the context of Avelos. Meaning Shiva is 7 full days. And so therefore his Avelis isn't finished, and because his Avelis is not finished, because again, his Shiva, his seventh day of Avelis falls on Shabbos, but now, what's Yantav going to break? Yantav is not going to break Shloshim. He didn't start Shloshim yet. Shloshim is not going to begin until after Yantav. Now how exactly to count Shloshim after Yantav? That's a discussion we're having later in the Perek. But in the meantime, right now, Yantav didn't break Shloshim. If Yantav didn't break Shloshim, so he does not have a heter to shave and get a haircut on Chol HaMoed. Okay, period, Adkan. So so that is the description of what the Aval is. So again, it is complicated, admittedly, but we have now our Mishnah and we have the Braisa. The Mishnah doesn't include Avel. The Braisa does include Avel of those people who can get a haircut and shave on Chol HaMoed. The case, the scenario is, the Gemara pinpointed, where his Shiva falls out on Shabbos. Shabbos also happens to be Erev Yontav. And now it's the question of that Shabbos day. Is that Shiva and Shloshim, like Avashol, where Mixas Yom Kikulo, where Yontav is now going to break Shloshim, and now he would be entitled to get a haircut on Chol HaMoed, and he can't get a haircut on Shabbos because he's an Ones, or no? Or is or our Mishnah, who holds like the Chachamim, not like Avashol, Shiva seven full days, so that means Yontav is breaking not Shloshim, Yontav is breaking Shiva. And since Yontav is only breaking Shiva, he has no heter to shave and get a haircut on Chol HaMoed. Period. So that's the difference between the Braisa and the Mishnah. Now we move to the case of Kohen, where the Mishnah is not including a Kohen, and the Braisa is. In terms of people who can get a haircut on Chol HaMoed.
According to Abashol, it's only 29 days.
No. Shloshim is Shloshim. It just happens to be Ola Lakan, Ula Khan.
It should be not 29 days.
We'll talk more about the counting later on in the parak, but it's Shloshim is Shloshim. It just happens to be that day 7 serves as both. The end of Shiva and the beginning of Shloshim.
Okay.
I'll come back to discuss it later. Hi, Kohen, hey, Chidami. Now, let's talk now about a Kohen. What's the scenario regarding a Kohen? Elim, Dishlim, Mishmar, Tarvaregal. Now, maybe it's during his Mishmar. Not maybe, it is. It's during his Mishmar. Now, during his Mishmar, so again, remember the rotation, 24 weeks, where the Kohanim are broken up into 24 different shifts, and of the shifts, each Kohen is going to be working, each shift, I should say, is going to be working from Shabbos to Shabbos, a full week. And so in the course of a year, they're basically working 2 weeks in the year. Okay, it's a simple way to look at it. They're doing other things, but in other words, in the Beis HaMikdash, doing Avodah, so they're going to be in their Mishmar. Now, during that week, can't get a haircut, can't shave, for a very simple reason. They're busy doing the avoda. So what the Gemara now is suggesting is as follows: Elim Adishlim Mishmar Erev Regal. So maybe the Mishmar finishes on Erev Yontav. So the Gemara says if their Mishmar finishes on Erev Yontav, that means that Yontav is on Sunday that year. So Ibaila Lugluch Erev Regal. So the Gemara says, well, if that's the case, then they should get a haircut on Erev Regal, on Erev Yontav. Now the Gemara says here over here Erev Yontav. Let's not take that so literally, because Erev Yontav is Shabbos. So take a look at Rashi over here. Right. Ibaile Lugluch Erev Aregel Klomar. Rashi writes the Erev Shabbosu Erev Aregel. Right. Meaning we're going to go back to Friday. Okay. Right. And Rashi quotes the Mishnah in Tanis not that long ago. Anche Mishmar Asur Migluch VeChamishim Mutar Meim Nekevar Shabbos. And the truth of the matter is that we're actually going to go back to Thursday. But anyway, but the point is that okay. So, but there's going to be means for this Kohen to get a haircut because he is entitled, allowed to get a haircut on Thursday. So, lo tzricha d'shlim mishmarta b'regel. So the Gemara says, okay, so must be the scenario is where his Mishmar finishes on Yontav itself. Okay, now his Mishmar finishes on Yontav. So what's the debate? So his Mishmar finishes on Yontav. So now he was not in a position to get a haircut previously. So what's the issue between the Mishnah and the Braisa? Tana di dan savar kevin did not b'shal shaparakim b'shabbat. I'm sorry. B'shano ayu kol amishmar shavas b'imur regalim v'chiluk lechem upon him. Now we know this is a Mishnah and Sukkah. Okay, we've seen this also not that long ago. The Mishnah and Sukkah teaches us that although the Kohanim are divided into 24 shifts, but nevertheless comes Yontav, every Kohen comes into the Beis Hamikdash, and every one of them has a right. A right to do avoda, a right to get pieces of carbon, portions of the carbon. How exactly do they allocate? I can't imagine. I don't know. But basically, every Kohen is there with rights to carbon. So now, Kiman delo shalom mishmato beregel dami. So that means then that our Mishnah did not include the Kohen, meaning not any Kohen, but specifically the Kohen who's working. Because our Mishnah is of the opinion that Yontav is also on. So that means that he has his Mishmar, his week of Mishmar, going into Yontav. So basically, no break. We're going to go his week of Mishmar through Yontav, and that's all he's on call during that entire period in time. And so therefore, he's not afforded the opportunity to Shemar Chol HaMoed, because he's on during that whole time. That's our Mishnah, and that's why the Mishnah didn't include him. Where is Abraisa's point of dispute? The Tana Berasavar, Avagav D'Shach B'Hanach Mishmar's Mishmarte Miyashlim Alei. Yontav is different, meaning he has rights during Yontav to get portions of the carbon, but he's not on. That's not considered on call. That's just simply considered entitlement. Right? He's participating. Very good. He's participating in the carbon in all the carbonos, but he's not on. So that's not. So therefore, the Bryce is of the opinion that his Mishmar has concluded before Yontav, and therefore he is given he's considered in a state of ones. And therefore, he can shave and get a haircut during Chol HaMoed. Okay, so basically now, right, a tricky piece of Gemara for today, but basically now a minor dispute between our Mishnah and the Braisa about two scenarios of a Navel and a Kohen, who under very limited circumstances, the Mishnah and the Braisa would disagree whether they're entitled to get a haircut and shave over the course of Chol HaMoed.
Question about Kohen. If a Kohen, the Kohen is supposed to get a haircut every 30 days. Is it on the 30th day or within?
Right. I was curious to know why the Gemara didn't. I thought the Gemara was going to go in that direction. Where his day 30, right. Or I thought that day 30 was going to come up on a Chol HaMoed or on a Yontav. Right. Okay, something along those lines. Okay, I was curious about that. I thought the Gemara was going to discuss that. It doesn't. Tana Rabbanan kol elu shamru mutam legalech mamord mutam legalech mimei evlon. Okay. Anyone who's given a heter to shave and get a haircut on Chol HaMoed also has the same heter for his avelos. So that means that you're released from prison on Chol HaMoed, so you have a heter. You can get a haircut and shave on Chol HaMoed. Same thing is true regarding avelos. Rachman Leslan, this person has not only in prison, but just lost one of his Zayin Krovim, one of his seven relatives, and is released on prison during his avelos. He too can get a haircut. He also has a heter. That's Braisa number one. Braisa number two, Va'atanya Asurim. And we have another Braisa that says no. The Chol HaMoed scenario, he has a heter. But Avelos, same scenario. I'm only pointing to one example. But any of the examples mentioned in the Mishnah, in the same scenario with Avelos, the second Braisa says he is not afforded a heter. Okay, so that's a very simple discrepancy between Braisa number one and Braisa number two. Braisa number one says mutter, Braisa number two says aser. Okay, that's a problem. Amar Rav Chisda, Amar Rav Shila, Kitanya Hacha, mutarim b'shitachfu Avelov. So, Rav Shila says, Rav Chisda quotes in the name of Rav Shila, that the Braisa that says Mutter is talking about a complex scenario where he was released from prison, plus he also has multiple shivas. Lo aleinu. Should not know from this, but the halacha is that if he loses a karov, and then he loses a karov, so he's going to be observing multiple shivas. Now, during the week of Shiva, you can't shave, you can't get a haircut, you cannot...
Is it concurrent or successive?
It's going to be successive, but you can't observe them concurrently, you're going to observe them successively, and now the problem is going to be that in that now additional week of Shiva, so you have not gotten a haircut, you haven't bathed, you haven't done laundry, and so the Chachamim realized that's onerous, and the Chachamim said under such circumstances, so you can get a, we'll call this a minor haircut. You'll see what I mean in just a moment. And that's strange terminology. Or you can do some mild laundering. Again, I'll explain better what that means in just a moment. So now what the Gemara is suggesting is, with the Braisa that says that's also, that's just talking about regular avelos. The Braisa that says that's mutter, that's talking about where it's multiple avelos. So the Gemara says, just give me a moment. So the Gemara says, ibish tachfu avelov. So the Gemara says, well, if we're talking about multiple avelos, successive avelos, so my area called Elu, I don't need any other factor. Meaning that by itself allows the Avel to get a haircut and do laundry. Shamar afilu kol yamanami detaini, the Gemara quotes a Braisa. Tachfu avelov zecher zeh, if he's in successive avelos, hich b'tzaro, make a b'tar. So if his hair is getting heavy, It's an expression. It means just simply means it's just getting out of control. So then, makel b'ter, you can lighten your hair with a razor. You can get a haircut with a shinui, with a small, with a, not with a pair of scissors. You can use a razor, but in other words, you can cut some of your hair. And also, you could do a form of laundry using only water, not detergent. But again, the chachamim understand that that's just a long time to go without haircut and without laundry. So what bothers the Gemara now is, you want to tell me that the Brisa that says Mutter is talking about where it's excessive avelos, right, I don't need any other factor. I don't need him to come out of jail, to be released from captivity. I don't need any of that. Just the fact, the mere fact that he's in successive avelos, that by itself should entitle him to get a haircut during the second avelos. So the Gemara says, no, there's a difference. In a scenario where it's just successive avelos, I know that word "just" is that's a strong word. But if it's just excessive avelos, so in that scenario, yes, he can get a haircut, and yes, he can do laundry, but only with a shinui, haircut with a razor, laundry without detergent. If it's excessive avelos, and on top of that, any of the scenarios we have in the Mishnah, he was taken out of jail, he was taken out of captivity, he made a neder, etc. If you have both of those factors, so then during a second avelos, he can get a bona fide haircut and he can do bona fide laundry. Okay. Amar of Chista, and the Gemara just makes one it's not a parenthetical note, but Amar of Chista is also meris, Aval Asr B'tach Bosis, and Aval cannot do laundry. Although, oddly enough, the Gemara already made that point in the beginning of our parak. It's kind of, the Gemara over here is just saying, you could also see it from the brace as well. Okay. Period. Okay. Tanur Rabbanan. Kishem Sha'amru Asr L'Galech Mamo Kach Asr L'Tal Parnayim b'moid divei Rabbi Yehuda. You can't get a haircut and shave on cholamoid, neither can you cut your fingernails. According to Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi matir. Rabbi Yossi says, no, it's mutter. Ukishem she'amru she'aval asal agalech mimei avlo, kach asali totsi parnayim. And just like an aval can't get a haircut, an aval also cannot cut his fingernails. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. V'Rabbi Yossi matir. Okay, so we have a machlokes in Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi regarding practices during cholamoid and during avelos, vis-a-vis your fingernails. During both, you can't get a haircut. And what about cutting your fingernails? Machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi. In both scenarios, Rabbi Yehuda is machmir. In both scenarios, Rabbi Yossi is mekel. Amar Ula, what's the halacha? Halacha ke Rabbi Yehuda ba'avav, halacha ke Rabbi Yossi ba'moed. So Ula has an interesting conclusion, which is that if it's avelos, so he's going to be machmir. If it's cholamoid, he's going to be mekel. I say that it's interesting because avelos, the way we generally think about it, avelos is primarily de rabbanon. Cholamoed is more de oraisa. Right, either it's de oraisa or it's not. Well, we talked about this in the beginning of the Masechta. Cholamoed is a quasi de oraisa, something in the middle between de rabbanon and de oraisa. That's an oversimplification. But anyway, but it's interesting. You're going to be mekel by cholamoed, and you're going to be machmer by avelos. Anyway, that's Ula's position. Shmuel Amar, we're now on the top of Yud Ches Amud Aleph. Halacha ke Rabbi Yossi b'moed uve aval. Now Shmuel says, no, we're going to be mekel in both scenarios, both during Chol HaMoed and during Avelos, so you can cut your fingernails and presumably your toenails as well. D'amar Shmuel, now how do we know that Shmuel arrived at that conclusion? Because Halacha ke Devarim mekel b'aval. Because Shmuel has a statement, and we're going to hear the statement a number of times over the course of this parak. Shmuel says that when it comes to Avelos, if there's a lenient opinion, we follow that lenient opinion. Okay. Now, it could be that this falls under the regular rules of Avelos is Durabanan, and anytime we're in Dine Durabanan, we can be Megal, or this could be specific to Avelos. Either way, the Shmuel is Megal when it comes to Avelos, and therefore, if I have a Machlokes between Rav Yehuda and Rav Yossi, and the question is, can I cut my fingernails? And Rav Yehuda says no, and Rav Yossi says yes, and we know that Shmuel always follows a lenient position when it comes to Avelos, so we're going to follow like Rav Yossi. Okay, good. That's the Gemara's conclusion. There's a discussion amongst the Rishonim. I'll just mention it. There's a discussion of the Rishonim. This statement of Shmuel, who says that we're always going to follow the more lenient position, is at which kind of Machlokesim is that applied to? Does that apply to the Machlokes Tanayim, or does that even apply to Machlokes Amarayim? And then we can further ask the question, meaning now that we're after the period of Amoraim, significantly, does this also apply even to the machlokas of Shulchan Aruch, of later Poskim, meaning is this a universal truism by Avelis that you can always follow the leading opinion, or was he saying it only vis-a-vis a machlokas amongst the Tanaim? That's a discussion, a debate. Okay, we're up to an anecdote in the Gemara. Second line on Yudches Amud Aleph. Pinchas achud marshmol isrei beimilsa. Pinchas was the brother of Marshmol, and he lost one of his relatives. Isrei beimilsa. Isrei beimilsa, again, that's an expression we're also going to see a lot throughout this parak. It's something bad happened. When, in the context, it means he lost a relative. Now, it can't be the loss of a father, because then Shmuel would be an avilus as well. Maybe it was a spouse, maybe it was a child. Okay, either way. Al Shmuel lemishal taima mine. So Shmuel pays him a visit. Okay, so Shmuel's going to now do the mitzvah of nicham avilim to his brother. Chazir l'tufa da'avin efishin. So now Shmuel notices that the fingernails of his brother is very long. And amalei, amai lo shakalta lahu. So he says to him, okay, cut your fingernails. Meaning, I know you're an avil, but Shmuel's saying, you can cut them. And again, they're consistent to what we just said. According to Shmuel, the halacha falls like Rav Yossi, we're making one in avil, so you can cut your fingernails. Amar le ibidi day hava mi mezalsa bekulehai. Now Pinchas speaks very strongly to his brother, and he says to him, let me ask you a question. If you were an avil right now, would you be that makel? Meaning, you're not being sensitive. I'm an avilus right now. I don't want to be makel. And if you were, would you be makel? So have a kishkagash yotzim alfnei ashali b'yisrei b'milsa. So the Gemara says, you got to be careful about what you say, right? If you were an avil. And it's kishkaga hayosh yotzim alfnei ashalit, right? Something mistakenly that comes out from the ruler. You say something, there's weight to what you say, even if he didn't fully mean it. Now, obviously, Pinchas wasn't wishing on his brother that he becomes an avil, but the mere fact that the words came out of his mouth, he let those words escape from his mouth. So the Gemara says, Yisrei be'emilsa b'shmuel, and so therefore Shmuel now lost one of his relatives, and now he's sitting shiva. Al Pinchas achu l'mishal tam amine. Now Pinchas comes to pay a shiva call. Now, one can imagine, Shmuel must be extremely upset at his brother. Shaklina l'tufre chavtina l'ape. So Shmuel takes away his fingernails, meaning he cuts his fingernails, and he throws them in the face of his brother. Amalei leislach bris krusa l'sfasayim. And he says to his brother, you let the words come out of your mouth. You understand I'm sitting shiva because you said it. Now, again, that is an oversimplification. He's not sitting shiva because Pinchas said it, but the words came out of his mouth, and it contributed. It was a contributing factor to Shmuel now sitting shiva, so he's taking his fingernails and he's throwing it in his face. And obviously the significance of, that's what generated the whole discussion to begin with. So you're right, the fingernails that I told you you're allowed to cut, you didn't want to cut them, here, you know what? My fingernails, right in your face.
Are you supposed to like bury your fingernails?
Okay, next discussion. Not next discussion, but it's on cue, it's coming up. So the Gemara says, in this idea that you say something, and even if you don't fully mean what you said, but you said it, and there's weight to what you're saying. Avram says to the two that were with him, right? Rashi says it was Eliezer and Yishmael. So so he says to them, we're going to take it from here. You wait for us. We're going to come back. Now at that point in time, Avram didn't think that the two of them were coming back. Avram thought that he was going to shech the son. So, but the fact that he said that we're going to come back, wait to what he said. So the fact, and interesting, by the way, this is Latova, right? In other words, we could have made a distinction. We could have said, okay, Latova, the words have significance, but not Lara. But obviously, the Gemara assumes no, it's both Latova and Lara. Now, at this point, the Gemara had a havamina that, okay, there is a heter to cut your fingernails, but only the hand, not the feet. The Gemara quickly rejects that havamina and says, no, both hands and feet. You can't use scissors. The Amar Rav Shem Amar Abba Hava Kamina Kamid Rav Yochanan Be'Ben Joshua B'Chol Shamoi V'Shaklin L'Tufrei B'Shinei. I was passing by Rav Yochanan I was in front of Rabbi Yochanan in the Beis Medrash, Anchal HaMoed. He cut off his fingernails, not cut, but he bit off his fingernails, Vizakinu, and he threw them outside. Okay, Shema Min HaTlaf. From this incident, we can come up to three halachic conclusions. Right? After an incident, it's almost always, the Gemara says three things to learn out from here. Number one, Shema Min HaMoto Litol Ksiponayim B'chol Shemoed. So first of all, you can remove your fingernails on Chol HaMoed. Number two, Shema Min HaIn B'Ayim Mishum Mius. It's not disgusting. Not disgusting to bite them off. Shema Min HaMoto Lizorkan. And number three, you're allowed to be Zorik. You're allowed to throw them. A big discussion over here. Huh? Well, we'll get to the, it's on cue. It's coming up. Right? That's coming up. Big discussion. You can take a look at Tosfos over here. Does it have to specifically be with your teeth? Can you use any other tool to cut them off? Okay. Tosfos over here has a discussion. Time consideration. We're going to go forward. So, so now the Gemara says, okay, the fingernail discussion, it's, you know, I have no problem remembering it. Like, that we all know. So the Gemara says, now, taking your fingernails and just, right after you cut them off, just discarding them, I mean, or just casting them off, you can't do that. But I'm telling you, we learned in a brisa. Three things that we said regarding fingernails. Hakovran tzaddik. You bury them, you're a tzaddik. Okay, I think you have to do a couple of other things to get the designation of a tzaddik, but... In other words, right, it's a good starting point. So, Sorfan Chassid. Now, if you burn them, you're a Chassid. And Zarkan Rasha. But if you just throw them away, you're a Rasha. For reasons which the Gemara is about to give us. Time am I, Shematavar Alem Isha Ubarav V'tapil. Because what may happen is that a pregnant woman's going to walk by, she's going to see just fingernails lying on the floor, disgusted by them, and you can understand this rationally, irrationally, however you normally... decide to understand these Gemaras, but rationally it could just simply upset her and that will physiologically hurt her child, or you can understand it on a metaphysical level as well. And she'll miscarry. So Rav Yochanan over here in the Beis Medrash, so what is he doing? He's just throwing his fingernails on the floor. So Gemara says, Isha Beis Medrash Lo Shechicha. So Gemara says, okay, but now we know the reason, and women are not typically in the Beis Medrash, so therefore it's okay. So the Gemara says, it's a bad place to say it's a locker room, but it's kind of like that. In other words, it's basically for men, and so therefore it's not a concern. So the Gemara says the chitema is demich nashay lohu v'shadilu abrai. So the Gemara says, okay, but they sweep the base medrash, and so they're going to take the fingernails and going to throw them outside, and aren't we worried? So the Gemara says kevin dishtani shtani. So the Gemara gives a very cryptic answer, and the Gemara says no, they move locations, and once they move locations. So then, that's different. Now, ask me to explain it. You can. I'm not capable. Meaning, I just okay. The better way to understand the Gemara is metaphysical, not physical, not a rational way to explain it. Because then it's hard to understand what's the difference whether the fingernails are on the floor or swept and moved to a new location. So probably the better way to understand is metaphysical. But again, I'll leave that. I'll let you decide. I'm Rav Yehuda Amarav. Zug ba mechamtan lifnei Rabbi. Rav Yehuda tells us that there was a pair of Talmid Chachamim who went to go visit Rabbi. Now, Marzucha Masni Zug ba mechamtan lifnei Rabbi. Took me forever to realize what is Marzucha telling us that's different. Meaning, he obviously has a different version, and I kept reading it and rereading it, and I don't see the difference. It's the same exact words, and then, right, after a little bit more investigation, otherwise known as looking at Rashi, all he's doing is just simply saying it's not Rav Yehuda who's saying it; it's a brisa. So, in other words, this is not just simply a memra of an amora, which by itself obviously has weight, but it's also it's more than that; it's a brisa. Ubikshu mi menu tziparnayim, and the question what they asked the Rebbe, Rav Yehuda Anasi, was, can you tell us a halacha regarding fingernails? So vihiter lahem, and Rebbe says it's mutter. Now I'll tell you what, we just simply don't have enough context. Meaning, removing fingernails on what? During Avelus, during Chol HaMoed. So we simply don't have enough context over here. If you take a look at Rashi, so Rashi says, so Rashi says that we're talking about Avelus. Okay, not everyone agrees to Rashi, but that's Rashi's understanding. And he says, now if you would have asked him about trimming the mustache, he would have said that's okay as well. Shmuel says, no, and that's not theoretical. They actually asked him, can you trim the mustache? The answer was, yes, you can. You can trim the mustache as well. So, Amar Abito Safa Mishmei Derav Safas Mizavas Uzavas. You can go from one corner of the mouth to the other corner of the mouth. And Amar Rabbi Amu Vesafa Hamakevis. And the reason why is because it prevents the food from coming in. It's disgusting. You have the hairs of the mustache coming down over your mouth. So therefore, even during Avelos, again, I'll just learn it like Rashi, even during Avelos, you can trim the mustache so that the food will have no impediment of getting into the mouth. Rav Nachman Yitzchak admits, I am just super sensitive. And for me, any hair that exists in the upper lip, I can't tolerate it. And so therefore, because I'm an istinus, I'm allowed to remove those hairs regardless of their length. And as long as we quote this Amora, who, you know, you could do the search and find out how many times he's mentioned in Shas. I can't imagine that many. But the Gemara now strings together another statement that he made. Divrei Agadata, right? They're not a halachic statement, but Parashaya Bimei Moshe. Now, Paro that lived during Moshe. Paro is a generic name. So we're speaking specifically about Paro who lived during the times of Moshe. Hu Ama, he was an Amatol. Uzikano Ama, and his beard was an Ama in length. Upamashtatko Ama, and his cloak, I'm sorry, his Ama was an Ama. His private is also, Amakum was also an Ama as well. But Ama Vizeres, it was an Ama and a half. To fulfill the pasuk, b'shafal Hashem yakim alaha. Now the Gemara over here, this is Divrei Agadata. So Paro being described as an Amah high, so you can, you know, we could make the joke like he had like a Napoleon complex, okay? But being an Amah high, that means that he's 2 feet off the ground, okay? This is right. The Gemara over here is speaking in Agadata. The point is that he was a small man. And the beard being an Amah, okay, that needs more explanation in terms of what the idea is, what the symbolism of his beard being an Amah.
Six Amah.
Right. More. Ten. The Gemara says he's ten. And his private being an Amah Vizeris. So again, it's a Gadata. It basically means that he focused much of his attention to his physical pleasures, physical desires, and Amar, so that's another statement made by, and to fulfill the pasuk, Shafel Hashem Yakim Aleha. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, look, I'm telling you, this idea that you're going to be ruled over by other nations, that's strictly me, Kadosh Baruch Hu says. How do you know that? Because you're going to have a miniature man ruling over you. I mean, he's not, in of himself, he did not have the authority, power, control to rule over you. This all comes from me, evidenced by the fact that here you have a miniature man who's ruling over you. Furthermore, Amar Avital Safar Mishmei Derav Parashaya Bimei Moshe Amgushi Haya. Amparo was an Amgushi. Now the word Amgushi, if you say the word Amgushi, it sounds like what English word?
Magician.
So is it mean magician? Possibly. Rashi quotes the Gemara in Shabbos. The Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Ayin Hey, says that there are two ways to understand the word Amgushi. Charamar, meaning Rashi. Charamar Charashi. So one way to understand it is that it was a magician. And so the word we have, magician, is now we know it's an old word, right? Going back to the time of the Gemara. Or another possibility is that he was a gidufi. He was a blasphemer. Okay. Shenemar hine yosei hamayma. And every day he goes visits the river. So again, one or two possibilities. He visits the river to practice magic, however that works. You'll speak to the people who know. Or he's a blasphemer, meaning that whenever he went to the bathroom, he always went privately. He wanted nobody to see that he was human with human frailties. And so, and afford him the ability to blaspheme. Who's God? I'm also a God, etc., etc. Eilu mechapsim b'mo habami medinas hayam. Okay. We're up to the next part of the mission. We're talking now about laundry. Who can do laundry in Chol HaMoed? All those people we mentioned back in the Mishnah. Meaning, generally speaking, you can't, but anyone mentioned back in the Mishnah can. Let's add one more person to the list. You have one garment. You can do laundry in Chol HaMoed. Okay, so, I know what you're going to be wearing while you're laundering that one garment. So, actually, we saw the answer earlier in the parak. Yeah, like he has like a robe, like, you know, like a bathrobe, if you will. Yeah, so, Mace, I'm sorry, so, So b'chol shomali. Mase of Rav Yirmiyah. Rav Yirmiyah says, "What? What are you talking about?" Elam chapsim b'morah. Ba medis ham b'cholay. Look at our Mishnah. Our Mishnah gives us an extensive list of people who could do laundry in chol hamoed. You know what's not mentioned in the Mishnah? The guy who's got one cloak. So what are you doing? You're adding to the Mishnah. You can't add to the Mishnah. So hani en mishen lo elo chaluka echad lo. So how can you add him to the list? So Amar le Rav Yaakov, Rav Yirmiyah, Asbalach mas nisan. He says, now you didn't understand the Mishnah correctly. Let me help you understand the Mishnah correctly. Avagav di islutre umetante. Our Mishnah is talking about people who have multiple articles of clothing. And even then they can do laundry. But if you only have one article of clothing, you're not in the list. You're just in a totally different category. You don't have any other clothing to wear. So Shalach Rav Yitzchak bar Yaakov bar Nizir Mishmeh Rav Yochanan kli pishta mutal chapsim b'chol shamoed. What if you have some nice linen clothing? Okay, nice linen clothing. So what's they have another word for that? What, linen clothing. Flax. Okay, whatever. So the you can learn by chol hamoed. It's really delicate, and so therefore you have the right to do so. So meiz rabba mat b'chos yadamit b'chos saparim. Hani in kli pishtan lo. Again, you go back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah gives us a list of different articles of clothing that are so delicate and so subject to getting dirty, they can be laundered. And again, a simple diak, hani in kli pishtan lo. That means these, yes, but not linen. Linen's not in our Mishnah. Amalei abayim asifan afilu desharmine. So now again, we'll do the same thing. The Mishnah is talking about articles of clothing that are made of sturdier material. But if it's linen, it's a whole different category. Linen is so delicate that you can launder it even during Chol Hamoed. Amar bar Heidel didichazil yamashal tveria demafkele mishichle demani kitna b'chol demoada. So, bar Hidai, a lot of interesting Amarim comes up in today's daf. So bar Hidai says, I saw people doing laundry by Yam Tveria, by the Kinneret, on Chol Hamoed, and they were laundering their linen clothing. Oh, it must be Mutter. So the Gemara says, "Matkif la Abaye, man leimalan de bratzon chacham emavde, demushlo bratzon chacham emavde." And Abaye says, "Okay, but good. I'm not disputing your testimony, right? You saw what you saw, but that doesn't mean they're doing the right thing." Okay, Adkan. Okay, we'll stop over here. Tomorrow we pick it up with the Mishnah. A lot of interesting discussion coming up in the Gemara. The Shiduchim, Basheret, the Gemara never uses that word, but that's the next big discussion that comes up. You'll see what does that have to do with Avelos. Okay, you'll see coming up. Okay, and we'll stop over here. We'll pick it up tomorrow. Everyone have a wonderful Shabbos.